everybody. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are. This is Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. with Meredith Locker. How you doing, Meredith?
I'm good, Cal. Just ready for more questions, share more information, see more people live streaming. It has been a really fun time.
Yeah, I am having fun. You know, the hypnosis is fun. The living in California is fun. I ride my bike and I drive around in my convertible. It's so fun. I get the top down when Maureen will let me because it messes up her hair. But otherwise, we have a good time. What have you been doing for fun?
You know, I've been working really hard. I'm really busy. You know, economy schmonomy. I am getting lots of calls, spending lots of time on the phone with prospective clients, and scheduling lots and lots of new sessions. So it's been very exciting. I'm very blessed.
Yeah, you know, everyone's complaining about the economy and all that stuff, but our center is busy as ever. We've got, in addition to me, we've got other hypnotherapists working here, all trained, certified in 5-Path and 7-Path. You know, we're just cranking. We're working with people all the way from, you know, 5 to 80 years old. It's just been phenomenal. Just had a certification course and a week of power course, and people coming in from all over the world. And it's just, I have absolutely no complaints. I also got my secret project. Everyone knows about that, the weight loss and income building project. That's going, and life is good. All right, hey, let's see. Oh, we've got streaming video out to our members on our HypnoSpace. They're watching this live right now as we record it. And it's fun because they're typing in messages in the chat area, telling us what they think of what we're doing, and they're asking questions. And it's just been a lot of fun with that, too. You having fun with that? Do you like that, Meredith? Should we keep doing it?
Yeah, let's keep doing it. But you know what? I have to say to Celeste, you didn't tune in live. Where
Ooh.
Are you?
Ooh, I wonder why.
She
you know
said
what,
she would.
Celeste?
She's
she
not
could
there.
Do no wrong in my book. I mean, she did like 60 episodes with me. She writes for a wonderful column in our e-zine on hypnosis.org. For me, Celeste can do no wrong. We all remember Celeste Hackett. Go back about, I don't know, 15 episodes or so, and you'll see her. Hope you're doing great, Celeste. Don't pick on her, Meredith.
I love Celeste, and she knows it.
I need your input on something. Maureen has been telling me I should dye my mustache and my beard. I got this funny thing happening. It's like, over here on this one side, it's getting grayer than on this side. But I said, I can't dye my mustache and my beard because I've got a podcast, and it would look funny if all of a sudden one day I've got this dark beard. What do you think?
Well, I'm all for balance, Cal. So if it's out of balance, I kind of think you might want to. But if it was just to get rid of the gray, then forget about it.
I should warn everybody first, huh?
Yes, and I think everybody should let you know what they think. Everybody, send in your thoughts about Cal's mustache
See,
and his beard.
Gray on this side, not so gray on this side. I don't know what to do. I saw a guy on TV like that, and I thought, what's wrong with him? But now it's happening to me. Oh, well. Hey, let's make a couple announcements. As always, got my classes coming up, June. And whenever the next one is, let me look on my schedule here, October, check it out, hypnosiscenter.com. I have all my schedule right there. I've got the 7-Path Teachers Course coming up in August at the pre-convention, NGH convention. Let's see, that's the 7-Path Teachers Training. I also have a free 1-hour course and a 2-hour course. I'll put links down here where you can see what's going on. Let's see, what else? Looking at my cheat sheet here. Our HypnoSpace is growing like crazy. More people, more groups. Keep checking it out. And I think that's it for this time. Did you check the time when we got started?
I did.
Good. Okay. I don't know why we're so bad. We're usually really good. But we're probably about 5 or 6 minutes into this.
Yeah, I believe it was pretty much right at 5.
You got some questions for me?
I do. I've got lots. Thank you all so much for sending questions in, and please keep doing so. We've gotten through so many questions, and we're going to keep working through them, and we're going to need more for next time, so please send them in. But the first question is, now I'm going to ask this more generally, and then I'm going to get into a specific situation with it. When, Cal, would you reject a client or even delay working with a client? And now, I'm going to first ask this question before getting them into your office. when you've just, you know, you don't do this, but now if someone were to be on the phone with clients, when would they reject or say, let's delay working together?
Oh, boy. You know what? There's a lot of different things that could happen, but I'll bet you, Meredith, you've got some ideas in mind that you'd like me to talk about, and why don't you just go ahead and talk about them? They're pretty standard.
Okay, well, yeah. You know, if the client is not motivated, if the client really is doing this for someone else and doesn't have any benefits of their own to do the work, then I typically won't take them. If the client, you know, really would prefer to keep their issue, you know, that's kind of along the same lines, but, you know, if they want to continue drinking, but it's everyone else that tells them that they've got the problem and they don't really think it's that big of a deal, then I would not work with them. If they don't seem to be cooperative and that they're not, and this gets more into once they're in my office, but, you know, if they don't seem to want to follow instructions, if they don't seem to be able to cooperate with basic instructions, and it's not a matter of them not understanding, it's just them not cooperating, then I wouldn't continue working with a client. When else? I wouldn't work with a client if they were unable to come in sober. And I don't mean that they've completely cut themselves off of the alcohol or drugs that they're using. I don't mean that they've gone cold turkey. I just mean if they say, you know what, I drink 24/7 and I need to be drunk when I come in or I won't do it at all, then I wouldn't work with the client. Now, I know that, Cal, you have a little bit of a different way of dealing with that. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, I think we talked about that a lot in the last episode. And, you know, I'm totally on base with you. You know, the people have got to be motivated. If their mother, father, sister, brother, or whatever calls in and says, I want you to make, you know, so-and-so quit smoking or quit lying or quit fooling around or whatever it is, they're rejected. I had this one lady who came in and she's dragging her husband, she's dragged him right in the office and says, I want you to hypnotize him and make him tell me what he was doing last Friday night. You know, and I had to break the news that you can lie in hypnosis. So, you know, the people have got to want to make the change. They've got to be motivated. Going through the emotional approach that we have to doing hypnosis can be kind of painful for the client. They've got to be willing to withstand that pain. So they've got to be willing to follow instructions. They've got to be of at least normal intelligence. They need to have a fully functioning brain. I've actually rejected a client and had to say, hey, hypnosis is just not for you. And they had so messed up their brain on with drugs and with a thing called huffing, where you like sniff glue and other kind of inhalants, that the person just could not concentrate enough to do the work with me. So I've actually had some people that were just not smart enough to be able to do it. And I don't tell them, hey, look, you just don't have the intellectual capacity to do this. I'll just say, you know, for some reason, it's just not for you, and recommend that they do some kind of counseling or something like that. So they have to be motivated. They have to be willing to follow instructions. They have to be capable. So willing, able, all that kind of stuff. So you're right on.
Great. Well, and you know, I also, if I feel like the issue at hand is something that maybe I don't have a lot of experience with, you know, I might refer out to a colleague who has a lot more experience doing that until I get to the point where I feel comfortable working with someone with that particular issue. I mean, my gosh, hypnosis works for so many things. And so the range of calls that I get are just, I mean, they could not be more vast. And so, you know, I really take my work seriously, and I'm only going to work with clients I feel very confident that I, with the tools that I have and the knowledge that I have, that I can work with successfully.
Oh, that's, you know, as you guys know, she just asks me these questions. I really don't do any preparation at all. I figure if I don't know, I'll just tell you. But you're absolutely right. Some of the things also come to mind as far as not accepting the client would be, like she says, I'm not trained in hypnosis for childbirth, so I would certainly refer that out. If there were, for a while, we had someone in our office who was just Kathleen Scottmeyer. She was like super at working with kids, and I'm good with working with kids, but that was her specialty. And so before she came to me for training in hypnotherapy, she had worked for years with children and adolescents using psychological and counseling techniques. And then when she moved over to doing Five Path and doing hypnosis with them, we just referred all the people to her. I mean, this is the idea. You put the client first. And if you know a way that better serves the client, then that's what you need to do. We always gave all of our children to her, and she really became the expert. And that's why, by the way, before her husband, he got a job working as a professor at a Canadian university, and she left. And I said, Kathleen, guess what you're going to do? You're going to do a workshop on how to work with kids before you leave. And then we recorded that, and we have that available for people who want a really good introduction to working with children. So that's the main thing. You have to do what best serves the client. And if it looks like for any reason you're not going to have success with that client, then you're going to have to delay or refer them out to someone who can help them. You got any more ideas there, Meredith?
Well, yeah, you know, every once in a while I come across somebody who is just really negative. And so negative that I don't know if I can overcome their negativity. And they're negative about everything, and when I'm rejecting them, it's usually when they're specifically very negative about hypnosis. And so if it seems like I can't overcome their misperceptions, their fears, their issues with hypnosis, whatever the reason is that they have them, whether it's a religious reason or they've heard something from somebody and they don't seem to want to let it go and they're just being argumentative with me, then I'll just, you know, I'm not going to waste their time or my time. And, you know, there are lots of other clients out there who want my help and my attention. And so I'm just going to say, you know, I think at this time, this isn't right for you. And, you know, leave it at that. I can't think of many other reasons other than when I'm working with somebody. So when I get somebody in my chair, and I touched on this a little bit, but if they don't seem to be willing to follow my instructions and just seem to be kind of pushing against the direction I'm trying to take them, then it's not going to work, and I will stop working with them.
What if that person who was so negative said, well, can you help me with my negativity?
That has not happened yet, Cal. Has that happened for you?
I was just thinking hypothetically.
Well, if they were going to be open-minded and they were willing to give it a try, then I would take it on. Because I absolutely work with negativity all the time, so I don't want people to think that I don't work with that. A lot of people with stinking thinking. Isn't that who we work with, Cal? But as far as there's a point, and this is a case-by-case basis, but there's a point at which I think that they're going to be open enough to do the work, or they're just too closed down to be able to get through to them. And that's the decision I have to make about that client as far as whether I'll work with them.
Beautiful. Yeah, that's what I would be thinking about. And sometimes I will just, in a matter-of-fact way, say, you know, before we work on this other issue, there's something that's getting in the way of what we're trying to do here, and you've kind of got this stinking thinking thing going on. And I'm thinking this might even be more important than the thing you came in for, because if we can overcome this, you know, kind of prevailing negative attitude, it'd make a lot of things in your life better. And so I'm going to propose this to you, is that we work on that before we move on to this other issue. And who knows, as we work on this negativity, the other thing might clear up, or it might make the work we're going to do on that other issue much. It definitely will make it easier when we do get to it. And I have a pretty good way of being straight with people like that without, you know, being too confrontational. So that's it. Anything else?
Of course, lots more, Cal. So specifically, when you're dealing with you don't take your own calls, but if you were to take your own calls, Cal, and you had somebody who was addicted to a substance and they love the substance. Now, in my experience, most people are not addicted to things that they don't like. They're enjoying it and it's working for them in some way. And so the majority of people who want to get past an addiction are going to like the thing that they're addicted to. Now, at what point would you decide they like it too much to take the case because you don't feel that you would be successful in helping them to overcome it because they just don't want to overcome it? Where is that line drawn?
Well, I'll tell you what. Everyone who's over, 21 years old who smokes wants to stop smoking and keep smoking. Everybody that has an alcohol problem wants to quit drinking and keep drinking. Everybody that's eating too much wants to get that under control, but they also kind of want to be out of control to it too, because I mean there's a pleasurable side. And so what I would just have to sit down, talk, and say, you know, I cannot make you do anything you don't want to do. You have to decide. You know, on one hand, here it is, you know, continuing to do the old thing. And over here is the benefits. And I have every one of our clients write down 7 benefits of making the change. And some can only write down 1 or 2. And I'll coach them. I'll say, gosh, can you think of anything else? And if they can't think of anything else, then I have to just kind of be straight with them and say, you know, I'm really wondering if you have a significant enough desire to do this. And if they say, no, I really want to do this, then I would say, okay, let's go. And a lot of times, my mom, I was just with her a few weeks ago for her birthday. She's 70 years old. And she smokes. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if she smokes for another 10 years. For her, it's a quality of life decision. And for her desire to smoke is stronger. She's had no desire to quit, ever. There's just always that health worry. And it really surprised me this time. She said, I'm thinking about quitting. And I said, well, that's fantastic. And you know why? And one of the things is, you know, she worries about her health, and they're getting more and more expensive. And so if she ever gets to the point where, you know, the desire to quit is strong enough, then you know, if she wanted to see a hypnotist, I would recommend it. And it's that balance. It's, you know, do you want to quit enough or don't you? And a big part of that for me is putting down the 7 benefits of quitting. And you know, you just kind of have to work it out with every individual. If they convince me they really want to go for it, then I go for it. It can cause no harm. It's going to cost them the cost of the sessions, but I believe that if what is really going on, if they're so conflicted about that, is some kind of secondary gain. And secondary gain again is when someone has a benefit from doing some problematic behavior or having some symptom or something like that, that is separate from why it started, then that can be fixed in phase 5 of 5 pathway. And just a thumbnail sketch, what that is we psychically divide the individual into 2 parts. One is the part that wants to continue in the old behavior, and the other part is the one that wants to change. And then once we get them into that situation, we do standard mediation process between these 2 parts in conflict and come up with a win-win solution that allows the part that wants to change, and the part that wants to continue in the behavior to get what they get out of the behavior or substance or whatever the problem is without continuing in the old way. And so, you know, it takes me a couple hours to teach it in class. I'm not going to be able to talk about it here in just a few minutes. But secondary gain, you know, that can be the issue. Make sure they have enough benefits. And then if they really want to do it, go for it.
Beautiful. Do you think we have time for one more question? I think we're out of time as far as the 20-minute mark goes. But do you want one more that was sent by our live streamer?
Oh, live streamers on our Hypnospace, priority.
Yes. So Sydney wants to know, can hypnosis help you learn faster?
Well, that takes another 20 minutes. No, that's a simple question. I think that, yes, the short answer is yes. And there's a lot of different ways to do it. Most people are not living up to their potential to learn as it is now. They have certain kinds of impediments. Could be emotional, like anxiety, things bothering them that keep them from being able to focus and learn at a rate that they would like to. And also, so we can go in and neutralize that stuff and then suggest that they're going to be able to learn. Another thing is that we can simply suggest that, you know, that they're going to be able to retain information more. I remember I was working with in Singapore with a very young girl. I don't remember how old she is, but she was less than 10 years old, and she was having trouble with taking tests. And we did the normal five-path thing with her, except kids are fast and easy. It didn't take five sessions to work with her. And we uncovered the anxiety, neutralized it, gave her direct suggestion for being able to retain information better and to be able to access that information when she takes exams. And then what's really cool is I don't just do age regression. I do a lot of age progression work. And I had her in the hypnosis rehearse having an exam, being able to recall this information. And what was really funny is I did a modified version of the Don Motton Red, Red, Red to help reinforce what I had suggested in the hypnosis session, which, you know, just basically I suggested after I emerge, everything she sees that's red will stick out, be more noticeable than ever before, and reinforce everything that I suggested to her in the session. And she was so excited. She went and took a very, very important exam that was going to determine where she was going next in her career in school. And she was so excited because she knew she was going to do well because the teacher had a red purse. And she just did wonderful, passed the exam. So not only can it help you with learning and retention, but also in recall of information.
Yes, you know, I use it all the time. Where I am, I'm in Westwood, and so I'm right by UCLA. I'm very close to USC, so I typically work more with college students, and I use it all the time. In fact, I have several that I just got done working with, prepping them for their finals to help to overcome the blocks that sometimes we get in our mind about our ability to perform well on tests. And so it's not about me making them cognitively smarter. It's about me helping them to see that they have everything they need to be able to do well on those tests. And it works. It's great.
That's right. Okay, how are we doing? Are we have time for one more? Or are we done?
We're done. Time to wrap it up.
All right. Wrap it up, Meredith.
All right. Thank you all for tuning in. Please do tune in next time. I believe we're going to do more of this live streaming. It's really fun. We love being able to get your questions in real time and answer them right here. I think you'll enjoy it too. And if you can't tune in the live streaming, definitely send your questions in. You can send them to me directly, meredith@yourpathhypnosis.com. You can send them directly to Cal. He'll give you his email address. You can post them on our Hypnospace, and you can also post them in the comment section at calbunyan.com. Thank you so much. Signing out, Meredith Locker. Take care.
And Meredith, I want to thank you for being such a wonderful co-host. I so much enjoy doing this work with you.
Yay! I love it too. Thanks for asking me, Cal. It's been fun.
You're welcome. All right, Cal Bunyan, signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Bunyan and Cal Bunyan's Bunyan Publishing, Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.